command. For the master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turn the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. Listen. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. He wants you to come and dine at his table this morning. You have an invitation from Jesus, and he wants to satisfy that longing in your soul. This morning there might be some of you here that sense an emptiness, and no matter what you eat, no matter, you can't find enough comfort food, no matter what you do, you're lacking. You're saying something's missing in my life. I don't know exactly what it is, but I can tell you what it is this morning. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that we haven't feasted at the table of Jesus. We need to get to the Lord's Amen. Table and eat from the Lord's eternal manna that he wants to give unto us. In the text this morning, I want to share from a couple of places. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9, and Matthew 5 and verse 6. In Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, we need to praise God for what he's done. We need to give him thanks. He says, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One translation said, blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. If you want to be completely satisfied, then you need to call upon the Lord and just trust in him day by day. For great blessings come to those that are hungry for God. In Psalm 34 and 8, it tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. One translation said, open your mouth and taste how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Let me ask you, it says, taste and see the Lord is good. Have you ever tried to get somebody to taste something? I know, especially husbands and wives, maybe parents, children in the situation. You know, sometimes the wife, she'll say, taste this. No, I don't want to taste it. Taste it. No, taste it. It's good. I don't want to taste it. Oh, come on, just have a little taste. Just taste it. I don't want to taste it. I don't like it. Well, how do you know you don't like it if you hadn't tasted it? Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Y'all sitting here, we country folk, aren't we? We know how it is sitting around the table. And the come on, you just need to taste it and you'll like it. No, I won't like it. Well, you don't know. You ain't tasted it. And that's the way it is with the Lord. Taste and see the Lord is good.
Amen.
How you know whether you're going to like it or not if you hadn't tasted it? You got to put your trust in Him. You got to call on His name, making Him Lord and Savior of your life, and let Him be your hope and your peace and your joy and everything else in between, because it's there you will find that satisfaction. Nothing will satisfy our soul like a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So taste and see. The psalmist David said in Psalm 119, 103, said, "How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey." The word of God is sweet unto our taste. I'm reminded of a story I read something a long time ago, and probably you have heard this story in some form or some fashion at some time. But there was an old Cherokee Indian chief, and this chief was trying to teach his grandson about some of the facts of life. And he says to the little boy, he says, "You know, there's a fight that's going on inside of me. It's a terrible fight, and it's a fight between two wolves. One of them is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." That wolf, it's an evil wolf that's there. And he said, "Then there's a good wolf inside." And he said, "That wolf is joy, peace, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And he said to his grandson, "You know, that same fight is going on inside of you and inside of not only you, but every other person." His grandson sat there for a moment thinking on it, and he says to his grandfather, "Well, which wolf is going to win?" And the grandfather said, "The one that I feed. The one that I feed." And I want to ask you this morning, what wolf are you feeding? Inside of every one of us, there's those two wolves, and they're battling. But which one are you really feeding this morning? You know, we need a hunger for God. We need a hunger for the things of God. And my prayer is that God will give us in these meetings a fresh hunger for the things of God. And there would be a true revival. Revival is simply God's people getting thoroughly right with Him.
Yeah.
It's renewal, a renewed hope. Church I used to pastor, I had this plant. I think it was a peace plant was what it was called. And it sat by the front door. And ultimately, it was pretty much my responsibility to water that plant. Well, me, I'm kind of negligent of those things. I don't think about it every day. And I'd come into the church, and all of a sudden I noticed that plant. It was just hanging over the sides of that basket, just drooping there, and you're thinking about on its last leg. I'd go get a pitcher of water and come in there and pour some water on that plant, and it won't, before I left the building, that plant was standing up straight, standing up strong. You know, that's what revival is, getting under the spout where the glory comes out, getting that fresh water poured over our soul. I looked up, and I had an old dictionary, and I looked up the definition of revival, and it said the renewal of life, and the illustration it gave, it said like a plant after drooping. And that's exactly how it is for us. We get to drooping and dragging, and we need renewal, we need revival, and we need to get hungry for God. May God give us a hunger. So we need a new hunger for the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. In the New Living Translation, he says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. In King James, it says in verses 2 and 3, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may thereby grow. If so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter uses this analogy of a baby craving milk to illustrate how we, as God's people, should passionately be craving the word of God. Do you have that kind of craving this morning? Do you have this desire? We need this hunger. You know, I recently have a new great-grandbaby. But I remember all the other babies. And when they get hungry, you know, when they want, wah, 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 wah. Y'all know what? Yeah. And that's what we need to be hungry for, the word of God. We need to be crying out like the baby. I need to get some word in me. I need to God's word. I need to start digesting his word. I need to get his word and read it. I need to hear it. I want to hear it taught, hear it preached. I want to hear it sung. I need God's word. I need nourishment. You know, too many people today are wanting to go on diets, right? And I need to go on a diet. You never need to go on a spiritual diet.
That's right.
You need to be strong in the Lord and fat and flourishing in him spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
We need to do that. So he said desire this word like one would desire milk. We need this hunger because we want to grow strong spiritually. You know, that baby would never really grow strong if it didn't get its nourishment. And we as Christians will never grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might if we don't get this nourishment that we need. And it's just not enough to come to church on Sunday. Yeah, we need to come and worship. It's not enough just coming on Sunday or coming on Wednesday. But we need to daily. You know, if you only eat two meals at home a week, what's going to happen to you? We need to be eating the word of God every day. Somebody ought to say amen.
That's right.
You know, we need, it's sad. It's sad when people think they have arrived to the point that they no longer need any more spiritual nourishment from the word of God. You know, I've seen folks, you know, like, hey, I got it. I know it. I heard it before. I heard it. I know what it is. I got it. I don't need it. Yeah, you do. Yeah. We need it. I was preaching a revival one time when I first started out. I was probably, I don't know, I was a young man, probably maybe 24 years old or so. And the pastor at the church, he was about my same age. He didn't think he was any older. And after the revival was over, he told me, he said, now that the revival's over, I can tell you what your problem is. I said, oh, okay, this is good. I'm all ears. I'm listening. He said, what your problem is that you just praying and studying too much. Huh? He said, you need to take some time. And you know what it was? He wanted me to go fishing every day, or go out shooting with him, go out shooting the guns, and go out and just go out and play all day, and come to church at night and preach. And I told him, no. I said, I gotta pray. I gotta study. I gotta be prepared when we come before the people and before the Lord. And then he tells me, your problem is you just pray and study too much.
can't be.
Well, I said, if I got an error, and if that's my problem, God help me, I'll err on that side of praying and studying too much rather than playing too much. That's the problem today. We got too many playing and not enough praying.
Right.
We need to be praying and seeking God and hungry for the Word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, Job, he said in the New Living Translation, he said, I have treasured God's Word more than daily food. I've treasured His Word more than daily food. And we need to be hungry so that we can be useful. And that's what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I knew that. I knew that back in that revival. And I felt sorry for this young man. And he was missing the mark. You know, but God says to study to show yourself approved. I was reminded of story I heard about the young evangelist on the train traveling. He was going to preach a revival, and an older lady sat down beside him. They got talking. He said, yeah, I'm preaching. I'm evangelist. I'm going to preach a revival. And she asked him, she said, oh, well, Sonny said, what's the first book in the Bible? And he said, I got it right on the end of my tongue. I know what it is. I can't think right now. It left my mind. But she said, what's the last book in the Bible? And he said, oh, well, that's I know. She said, well, Sonny, you don't know heads nor tails what you're going to be preaching about, do you? You know? It's good if we know the order of the books of the Bible, but the main thing is knowing the Word, knowing what God is speaking unto us, and we need to consume His Word and study His Word every day so that we can sort truth from error, that we won't become a victim of Satan's cunning craftiness. We need God's help to protect us when Satan is making His onslaughts against us, because the devil, when he comes and whispers in our ear, we need to know truth. And you know, today there's a people that will tell you that truth, there is no actual truth. And there's people that say truth, it doesn't really matter about truth. Truth, what matters is only what you perceive the truth to be. That's a lie from the devil. Truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. As folks today will tell you, there's many ways that you can get to God. Oprah was big on this. Yeah, here a while back, and I don't want to bust your bubble if you're a big Oprah fan, but here a while back, you know, she was really big on this and all this New Age stuff that she was pushing, and many ways to God, and she even went as far as say one time, you know, I couldn't serve a God who's jealous of me, because the Bible says God is a jealous God. And she said, why would I want to serve a God that's jealous of me? I heard her on the TV when she said it. I happened to be watching that day for whatever reason, maybe because I need to hear it. And I screamed at the TV and I said, you idiot. I said, God is not jealous of you. He's jealous for you.
That's right.
God is a jealous God, but He's not jealous of you. He's jealous for you. Like a husband and wife, you know, their faithfulness to each other. But if that husband starts looking over here and starts paying somebody else some attention and complimenting or doing whatever, You're going to probably see some jealousy rise up. Is that bad? No, it's not bad. That wife is not jealous of him. She's jealous for him. She doesn't want him giving his attention and affection to someone else that she deserves that attention and affection. God doesn't want us giving our attention and affection to other gods and other things. We need
need to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we give him our full devotion. And then he gives us so many other things to bless us with in life. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. He says the gold is mine, the silver is mine. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns all the taters in the hills. He owns it all. It all belongs to God, and he's given to bless us in this life, but he wants our devotion. He wants our devotion. And so his word tells us what we need to do, and we need to understand the Bible is a living book because it is God's word. It's a book that will work wonders in every life if we only believe it and obey it. It's God's inspired revelation of the origin and destiny of all things. It's written in the simplest, most simple human language possible, so that even an unlearned person and even a little child can understand the principles of God's word, and especially that pertaineth to salvation. When we consider today the Bible, it's self-interpreting, and it covers every subject of human need, both now and forever. The Bible, if you read it, it'll interpret itself. We take it figuratively where it's figurative, and we take it literal where it's literal, and the Bible makes it plain. The main thing is keep it in context. Keep it in context. The Bible reveals the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are unchangeable. It's God's eternal word unto us. We should read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. The Bible contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map. It's the pilgrim's staff. It's the pilot's compass. It's the soldier's sword and the Christian's charter. Heaven here in the word is open unto us, and hell is disclosed to us. Christ is his grand subject, and throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there's a thin red line that runs all the way through, and that thin red line is that of Jesus Christ in his shed blood. Amen. That God has provided redemption for mankind, and that whosoever will, let him come and drink of this water of life freely, that we might have everlasting life when we trust in him. Somebody ought to say amen. It should fill your memory. It should rule your heart. It should guide your feet in true righteousness and true holiness. We need to read it slowly. We need to read it frequently. We need to read it prayerfully, meditatively, searchingly, devotionally, and study it constantly. And we read it through until it becomes a part of our very being. I know I'm not going to be able to get through my message this morning. I'm not going to be able to cover the other topics. But I'm going to at least finish up on this. Because the Word of God is so important unto us. And we need to digest it. We need to study it. We need to learn it, because truly it's God's instruction manual to us. You know, how many of you have ever gone to the store or ordered on Amazon and you've gotten something you've had to assemble? You've gotten something you needed to assemble. And maybe it's a cabinet. Maybe it's a bookshelf. You know what a cabinet looks like. You know what a bookshelf looks like. Hey, I can put this thing together. And you start get your stuff out, and you start putting it together. And then you get to a point, well, this ain't working. This is not, where does this go? What is this for? Where's the instructions? Maybe I better look at the instructions. You get a model airplane. Everybody in here knows what an airplane looks like. So I'll be able to put this plane together. I can simple this plane, get it together. Where's the instructions? You know, if we can't put a cabinet together or a bookshelf or a monoplane and another thing that we can't build without looking at the instructions, what makes us think we can build a Christian life without ever reading the instructions?
Amen.
Amen. We've got to read the instructions. The Bible is God's instruction manual for His children. In fact, the very word Bible shows us that. You know what acronym? You know, you take the letter and it stands for a word, B-I-B-L-E. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Now, if Jesus tarries, every one of us are going to leave this earth one day by way of the grave. And praise God, He may sound the trumpet and we may escape the grave and be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and caught up together with those that's going on in the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. But until that time, we need God in our life. We need, and the only way that we will ever have a relationship with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us in Psalms 119, David said, "Your eternal Word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven." His Word is firm. His Word is settled. You know, we have people today that try to take words out of verses. They try to take verses out of chapters. They try to take chapters out of books. And they try to take books out of the Bible. But you know, when the dust is all settled and the battle is over, every chapter is going to be back in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Every verse is going to be back in the chapter. And every word back in the verse. Because God said, "My word is established forever. It's settled in heaven. And not one word will pass. Heaven and earth will not pass away until His word is fulfilled. Every jot and tittle, every comma and period, everything about God is revealed to us, and we need revival. We need revival with His word. There needs a revival of His word throughout this land. Let truth be proclaimed, because there's so much lie that's around this world this morning. There's so many lies that we're hearing all around, from the political to the religious to anywhere and everywhere we look. And the only real truth that we will ever find is in the eternal Word of God. God, let us have revival. I was going to talk to you about needing also a renewal of worship. But time has got away. And I just want you to know that yes, worship, true heartfelt worship, reading God's word and worshiping Him who is worthy of all worship, the one that has provided all things for you. You know, you didn't get out of bed this morning on your own. God woke you up this morning. God enabled you to get up. And in these recent days, in these recent months, I've been learning just how much more I've been dependent on God. And I've been crying out to God and calling on God for it. I believe in divine healing. And I thought he was going to divinely heal me months ago. And as it didn't happen, I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on here? I know your word. I know by your stripes we're healed. I believe. I have faith. What's going on, Lord? And that was some days I was having some real problems. And I was having a real battle with the Lord. And I'm saying, God, I know your word is true. And I know that sometimes we just got to go through some things. Sometimes you deliver us and keep us from having to go through it. Sometimes you deliver us in the middle of it. And sometimes your grace is sufficient to see us through. But I said, Lord, you got my attention. And in these past months, while I've been setting and thanking God how much longer is this going to go on, I've had opportunity to reflect. I've had to realign some priorities. I had to come to realize what really is important and what's not so important. And come to realize, yes, God is not through with me yet. He's still got a work for me to do. And I'm ready to do it. And I just want to do it even more effectively. I said, Lord, I want your word in me. And I have been able to spend more time thinking on him and meditating on him and in his word. And church, you need that daily diet in your life. I can't emphasize it enough this morning. God, give us a revival of the word of God. This morning, I don't know your spiritual condition, but if you're here today and you've never come to the place in your life that you've tasted to see that the Lord is good, if you've never come to that place in your life that you just simply said, Jesus, be Lord of my life and forgive me of my sin, it's my prayer this morning that you would taste him. Take a taste. And just say, Lord, I've been trying everything else and I just haven't been able to find that satisfaction. See, too many people are like Mick Jagger. I just can't get no satisfaction. But you can find your satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will satisfy the longing of your heart. He will fill that void in your life. And life will take on a whole new meaning when you trust in him. And get in his word and see what the Lord says to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Lord, for helping me to speak today and to minister to the people. Lord, I know that you've helped me. Your grace is sufficient. You've strengthened me to do this. And Lord, I know that there are those here today that needed to hear this word. I needed to hear this word. And God, just let us be reminded that what we need to do for ourselves more than anything else is get into your word and read your word and study your word. And I know there are those who say, well, I just can't understand it. But God, that we can't understand, we just kind of lay aside because there's so much that we can't understand. I know sometimes, Lord, I eat fish with bones in it, and I can't digest the bones. I lay them aside. God, read your word. There's sometimes things that maybe I still don't quite fully comprehend, and I have to kind of put it aside and then go back and ponder and study on it. And Lord, eventually you reveal to us. But God, the greatest thing this morning that we need is to know that we have right standing with you, that our sins have been forgiven, our name written in the Lamb's book of life, and Lord, we have hope of heaven. And Lord, I thank you today that you're going to just bless in a mighty way in the remainder of this revival, the song and the gospel sang this afternoon, and the meal and the baptismal and the services this week. And we thank you for what you're doing and how you're blessing this church under Pastor Rob's leadership. God, we'll just praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.